Hello, everyone. We are going to get started with some Q&A today. Let me get everything set up so that I am ready to go. We have things we're going to talk about. So I have over here my lovely flip chart where I have all the things. And then I need to get, let me turn my volume down so y'all aren't hearing an echo. Let me pull up. Well, we're still hearing an echo. All right. Do I sound okay for y'all? For some reason, I sound so echoey, and I've got my mic turned all the way down. Let's promote the panelists, Coach Lisa. And let me check the chat. Sound good? Okay, I sound good. I'm not sure. Maybe it's, I don't know. For some reason, I just sound like I have such an echo in here today. It's driving me crazy. All right. We are going to do a few things today. I'm going to go over some announcements, some exciting things. And then we will get started. I'm going to teach a little bit today since it's Stalls and Plateaus month. I really wanted to give y'all some information on Stalls and Plateaus. We'll just tell you, I think my leather onesie is, this one's going to be a fail for doing calls. This is more about going out. I'm already sweating and it's like moving around weird on my body. All right. Let's get to announcements. Number one, welcome to all of our new members. We have a lot of you here. This is a Q&A call, which means that I'm going to be answering questions today. Sometimes I teach something depending on what our topic for the month is, but you do not need to be here. You are not required to be at these calls. You're honestly not required to do anything inside of NoBS other than show the fuck up for yourself, but that's a whole different topic. These are things that you can add in later. The most important thing that any of you can do is just go through the NoBS course, which is on the weight loss website. So if you go to nobswomen.com and you log in, it's on the homepage, it's on the menu, and you want to take that course along with doing all of the worksheets. That is the best way to lose weight. These calls will be archived for you. They will be in replays and in your private member podcast for as long as time comes. So you do not need to worry about missing any of these things. We normally, like on this particular call, we only have 300 to 400 people here. So it's not like all 12,000 of us attend these calls every single week. So if you're sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, that, oh, I can't make a live call. This must mean I can't lose the weight. There is a problem. I'm not using my membership. Stop the horseshit, dead in its tracks. You can listen to a replay when it fits your life. You do not need to be on live calls in order to lose your weight. You need to pay attention to your hunger, stop it enough, make a daily plan, drink some water, and get your ass in bed. That is how we lose weight. Everything else is there to support your mindset around staying in the zone on doing the four basics. That is it. So if you want to be here, you're welcome to be here. But if you're here and you ain't got no damn 24-hour plan made, go make a 24-hour plan before you take in some more fucking information and sitting around being like, it's just so much. It ain't so much to make a 24-hour plan. Let me tell you how you do it. You get a pen and you get out your planner and you answer the questions. Your brain might break. It might whine. It might bitch. It might tell you you ain't got time. We all have a normal brain that acts like an asshole every single day. It don't want to do basic, simple shit. Think about this. How many times, y'all raise your hand. We've got the thumbs up here. Thumbs up if you've ever thought, I don't want to go to work today. Yeah. And the crowd goes wild. Now, drop a heart if your ass got up and went to work. Yeah. Very often our brain thinks about things like, I don't want to do it. It's going to be so terrible. Traffic's going to be so bad. My boss is a dick. Blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, bitch, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and put on the deodorant. It's time to go to work. We do shit that's good for us all the time, even if we're not motivated, even if we think it's going to take a lot of time, even if we think it's crap. You know why? You want a roof over your head, so you go to work. You kind of like being able to have air conditioning when it's hot outside. It is the same thing with weight loss and the 24-hour plan. You kind of like losing weight. You kind of like the ability to figure out how to quit eating for your emotions. That's what the plan does. It highlights, this is the way I'm going to eat today. Hey, future self, I have your back. I am sitting here right now thinking about you. You'll be tired tonight. This is why I'm going to plan Chinese. And this is what we're going to eat. But we ain't going to peruse the menu. We ain't going to go through Uber Eats and look at every single thing on the Chinese menu tonight like we always do. This is what we're going to eat. This thing that we picked, because at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm writing my plan, or 7 o'clock, whenever you do it, my best self said, this is a reasonable choice. This is probably what your tired ass is going to want tonight. And as long as you eat to enough, and this is a reasonable substitute for, you know, whatever it is that you normally would order when you're bone ass tired and like scrolling, looking at everything, you know, karaoke has to offer for you. You pre-plan for her so that when she's tired, she is grateful to her past self who had her back. That is the purpose of the plan. So we do not listen to our toddler brain that's like, it's my candy bar. I don't want to make a plan. We don't listen to that person. You know what we do? We're like, if I can go to work when I don't want to, I can for fuck sure make a 3-minute plan for food today. It ain't like when you make that plan that we green lighted you to put whatever the fuck you need to eat on there. Ain't nobody giving you rules that you got to follow other than, what do you think you'll stick to? Let's get good at following our word first. So everybody, make your plan. That is the lesson of the day. That wasn't even the lesson of the day. We didn't even got to this part yet. All right. So newbies, you are on module 1 this week if you're brand new here. So just be going through the module 1. It takes about 10 to 20 minutes a day, listening to some content. Do the worksheets that are in there. If you are an existing member who has been here, you've already finished the NOBS, you are doing Stalls and Plateaus this month. And I highly recommend you all go through it. I can't believe how many of you are getting wins from this course. I worked really hard on it. I just knew, like, this membership, if they don't need nothing, they need to understand that stalls and plateaus are normal, but they need to understand the nuances of it. And so I want you to make sure that you're going through it. If you are brand new, don't forget, on Monday, I don't have the date. Let me grab the date. June 13th, I believe it is, at 11 a.m. Central Time will be the new member orientation. So if you would love Coach MJ to kind of spend some time with you, if you want to ask questions about being new, anyone that's never been to a new member orientation, or maybe you're just like, I kind of want to reset, please feel free to join us on Monday morning at 11 a.m. And Coach MJ is going to be taking everybody through just the basics that you need to know, answering some simple questions. This is a great time to get just a little bonus help. We will also make sure that all of that is in the replays, so you never have to attend live in order to hear the amazing words that come out of our mouth. And then the summer reset was so good. I know a lot of you got a lot of benefit out of it, and y'all are all already watching the replays. I would love to just round of applause to my team who got the replays out. I think they got them out the same day that we did it. If I'm not mistaken, they went up that night or first thing in the morning. It was a fast turnaround, and they had to break the videos down into 4 sections. It's not an easy task. If you've ever done any kind of video editing and stuff, you'll know it takes a little blood, sweat, and tears to get a video edited. Trust me, Corinne tries to do them on her phone. Hard enough just to do it on your phone. And so if you will go to the Summer Reset homepage, which is over on nobswomen.com, and you will find some new, cool, shareable graphics to tell us all about what you learned. We would love to see it on your social pages, inside our Facebook group, anywhere that you would like to do it. We also have a special summer reset roadmap that we've added into the resources. So if you go over there and look at the roadmap, it will help you stay on track all summer long, like all the things that you can do this summer to keep losing weight. I highly recommend specifically the accountability groups. Take a look at the roadmap. figure out how you're going to use it as a group for the summer. And then anybody that has really cool ideas and accountability groups, please share in our Facebook group. Right now, only 37% of our members are taking advantage of accountability groups and partners. We put you together. We give you a guide on how to do it. We even reach out to you now. We just started this. We even reach out to your group after about the first 15 to 30 days to ask you how it's going. And then if it's not going well for you, we will help you. If you are just like, we're doing good, but we could use help with this, we will help you. If you need a totally new group, we will help you. The point is we will help you. But for all of our existing accountability groups that are ballers, please post in the Facebook group how you're using your groups and how you're using the summer reset roadmap and what y'all have agreed on to give other groups ideas. You can always go over to nobswomen.com and look at for accountability groups. Go to that page. You can request one and we will get you set up. All right. We have a couple of celebrations. Number one, we had 19 new members inside the Queen's Club this week. Jennifer Simpson said, I found No BS when I was at my wit's end. When I found Corinne, I found where I am supposed to be. No BS has helped me to figure out my mental shit, to heal and become the future me. So congratulations, Jennifer. And we also have Pino Baranek. I hope I didn't slaughter your name. A new member of Century Club, which means that she has lost 100 pounds. I have found a supportive, like-minded community where I can continue to grow as a person. It's more than weight loss. It's life-changing. I can create the life that I want, and No BS is this place, a place where I can grow and become the person I want to be for me. No BS is for life. It just feels like home. So congratulations, Pina. We're very, very proud of you. All right. Before I get to questions, let me just tell you how this works. If you have a question, pop it into the Q&A. Coach Lisa is over there. She will answer some and she will save some for me to answer for everyone. She's also working over in the chat. But today, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on stalls and plateaus, on something that I was thinking about that will help y'all. Number one is this. This is what a stall is. So if you watch the videos, I talk about stalls, true stalls versus dieting. What I call it? Diet denial. Denial dieting. Sorry. Woo. Corinne's got all the terms these days. All right. A stall. This is what a stall really is. It's where you're taking action that addresses the stall. So if you're on a true stall or plateau, this is what I hear a lot of times. I've been on a stall or plateau for like 6 months. That's not a stall or plateau. That's called maintenance. That's called I'm doing what it takes to keep my weight the same. That means I'm probably doing things like continuing to overeat, not addressing my new emotional eating that allowed I could keep this level of emotional eating in to lose weight. But now to get to the next level, I got to work on this level of emotional eating. So a true stall is taking action. When I know someone's really stalled, I will talk to them and I will hear about all the things that they are doing to address their stall. Things like if they're overeating at night, they will be able to tell me like, I looked at my data. I know the reason why my weight loss isn't moving. I am eating too much at night. I used to, when I was losing weight, I was able to still eat at 8 o'clock, some stuff, but I could still lose weight. But now what I'm finding is when I look through everything, I am eating at night, not because I'm hungry. I'm eating at night because I don't want to let it go. I'm eating at night because I'm still having stressful days and I don't want to work on the stress. I'm just eating over it. So they identify where things are stalling them, but a denial dieter will know those things and beat themselves up. Be like, well, I know what my problem is, but I just keep having shitty thoughts. And until those shitty thoughts go away, I guess I'm just stuck here, stalled out. It's like, no, if you don't want to address the thinking, if you don't want to like hear the stuff, but try new things, call it maintenance. You're maintaining that current weight. when you are just watching your behaviors and being like, oh, well, I hope that changes, or you're waiting to feel good before you make the changes, you have also decided to maintain waiting to feel good before you do new things. What I want you to decide is, I don't need to feel really good to attack this. What I need to feel is committed. I don't need to be excited. I don't need to be confident. I don't need to be assured. I don't need it to be easy. What I need is willingness and commitment. Very different. I don't need it to be hard either. It might be hard. It might be uncomfortable. But I'm not going to make it harder by sitting around thinking it's going to be terrible to stop this behavior. I'm going to sit around and think about, what are the small things I can do to start backing out of this behavior? Because that is what's keeping me stalled. So someone who is on a stall is taking actions. So overeating at night, I would be talking to them and they would be telling me about new things they're trying, or they would be asking me, like, what are things that I can try so that I can start ending this? And they would give me a list of what they've tried. And they wouldn't be sitting there saying, like, but I just have all these thoughts, like, oh, at night, I just, oh my God, I can't quit thinking it tastes so good. I can't quit thinking this is too hard. I can't quit thinking, like, tomorrow I'll do better. That's called whining. That's not called solving the problem. That's called being mad at your thinking and wanting your thinking to change before you're willing to change your thinking. Here's the thing. You gonna quit this overeating at night? Guess what your brain's gonna do? Offer up its normal thoughts. You know why? Because every night your ass is ate over them. You have taught your brain, hey, if you'll just, like, if you'll whine, I'll feed you and you'll feel better. Of course it's gonna keep asking. What do you want it to do? Like, just be like, oh, no. I don't want anything that feels good. What we have to do is we have to hear all those thoughts and we have to say, like, this is normal. I knew I would think all these things because for the last 6 months, I have been feeding these thoughts. It's just like a garden. If you want the garden to die, quit watering it. Do you want those thoughts to die off? Quit feeding them. You're just growing a big ass linebacker every time you put food in it. So what we want to do is we want to tell ourselves, I knew these thoughts were going to come up. That's very normal. My brain is asking for something, but here's what we're doing tonight. We're going to do these steps. We're going to try these things. If somebody from my team will make sure, I believe on this Sunday's call, it was either in Queen's Club or on the weight loss coaching call, I addressed with someone there was two really pivotal calls. Somebody was a denial dieter, would love it if we would link to that call inside of this description. The other person was getting coached on, it was Lisa Wolf. That's who I coached. So that'll make it easy for you to find. I can't remember the other girl's name. She was very sweet. She wanted to get to 120 pounds. I remember all of that. I believe that she wanted to be 120 pounds, something about 120. I would love that call to be linked because Lisa has been, like, basically binge eating at night. And I stepped her through how to do the process of backing that behavior out in a way where it may take a few weeks. She might not lose weight at first, but we have to break the habit. It was not Yvette. It was somebody different. All right. Next. Stall, taking action that addresses the stall. If they're not stopping it enough, this person, if they're ready to address the stall, will actually start leaving a few bites behind. Here's what they won't be doing. That won't be enough. Not enough. Two bites could never matter. Do you know what the person on a stall or plateau is doing? Trying every fucking thing, no matter what their brain says. They're trying to prove shitty thoughts wrong. Here's what I would never do. If I was on a stall or plateau, here's what I never did on every one of my stalls or plateaus. I never sat around and was presented with an idea or got an idea and said, that won't work. Nobody loses weight deciding ahead of time that something won't work for them. Do you know who loses weight? The person who tries anything and everything that is offered to them in no BS to see if their shitty brain is wrong. That's how you lose weight. So if you're sitting around and we are telling you things and you're like, nah, that won't work for me, you need to be like, no, I won't know it won't work unless I actually do it a few times. Not one, not two, but a few times. Because the first couple of times, you probably won't do it right. First couple of times, you'll do it half-assed. You might do a little, but then give up thinking it won't work. You got to press through and prove that it won't work. It's no different than if your child needs to learn how to do multiplication tables. And the very first day they're presented, they're like, that won't work for me. Like, I looked at it and didn't understand it. All right, I'm just not going to learn that. Would you be like, all right, second grader, you know best. Stop acting like a second grader in your brain. Every single time you say this won't work before you try something, I want you to say, like, here I am being 8 years old again. If 8-year-olds are wrong, I probably am wrong too. Weekend versus weekend. So I spelled it W-E-A-K-E-N-D. Somebody who's on a truer stall is looking and they're getting ready to take action. They look and they're like, oh, I see. I eat like a jackass on the weekends. Here's what they're not doing. Weekends are hard. Oh my God. I have such a spontaneous life. You know me. I just need to relax. Like, it's just too hard for me, Corinne. That ain't no stall. That's you deciding that where you're at right now, you want to be there. You want to be where you're at in your weight loss way more than you want to be working on your weekends. That's called a decision, not a stall. Someone who's on a stall and they're noticing that they need to quit having W-E-A-K-Ns and start having W-E-E-K-Ns, weekends versus weekends, this is that person. They're in module 4 of No BS. They are watching the video that we talk about weekends. They are trying things. They are, if we link that call from this, just link up Queen's Club and link up the weight loss call. Cause I also coached, God, I can see your face right now. Lovely lady. Just got through life coach school. Cannot think of her name to save my life. And I have talked to her about a million times and coached her a million times. I could tell you a lot about her, but I can't tell you anything. She's an artist. I cannot tell you her name. We talked about weekends. I gave her a strategy. I was like, why aren't you planning the weekends? Just not motivated. And I was like, all right, when are you motivated? Thursday mornings, I'm always making my plan. All right, we now make our weekend plan on Thursday morning. We look out for weekend self. We don't want her to just be face down eating bullshit because she ain't got no direction or no plan. We're going to give her one. And we're going to give her one that makes sense for the weekends. So we can break the behavior of just tuning out, eating whatever, and beating herself up every Monday morning because she ain't got no fucking plan. We're going to break that first. So if you are on a stall, the lesson is, you are taking action that addresses the stall. Now, if you're denial dieting or maintaining, like, and when I say maintaining, I'm not meaning you lost all your weight. I'm talking about I am maintaining some weight I don't want. Because I am sitting around denial dieting. This is what it looks like. You notice patterns, but you're stuck thinking I should be losing. Here I am just on this like 6-month stall. No, you have to see where to work. But this is the problem. You may be seeing it, but you think about drastic measures. Someone that gets stuck in the loop of like a long-term maintain is someone who is sitting around thinking that what they need to do to lose the next 5 to 10 pounds, the next 20, wherever you're at, that it's going to be some drastic bitch is pulling my fingernails back, killing me experience. When all you need to do is you need to look holistically at what you are doing, and you need to find one behavior that you know that if you put your time and attention on it, and you started making small tweaks today and every day until it got better, you'd lose weight. And I mean small ones. Y'all quit. This is what I see most often with some bullshit denial dieting. I'm on a stall, Corinne. It's been like 6 months. Oh God, what's wrong with me? I just have so many shitty thoughts. Here's what I know I got to do. I'm going to have to cut out all the carbs. I'm just going to have to be really hungry. It's going to have to be like it always was. You know, I'm really good Monday through Friday. I really am going to have to just start fasting. Y'all address the shit. Like, address the overeating. Address the weekends. Address having too much at dinner. Address 9 o'clock at night. Don't address lunch that you're already doing well. Make that shit a traumatic experience and then wonder why you don't lose weight long term. Wonder why you give up. Wonder why you think it's so fucking hard. If you take the things you're doing right and you just make them harder, you're creating your own Frankenstein diet. Stop doing that. If what's working well is working well, stop fucking with it to make it harder. Your brain wants to play like it's like fuckery afoot. We don't play fuckery afoot around here. What's going well, we're like, I've already got this nailed. What I really want to work is on the stuff I ain't got nailed. Make a list. And then you get one. You don't work on all of them. Otherwise, you tripwire yourself to think like, oh, now you're in trauma central when it comes to dieting. You work on one thing. Seriously. Your brain will freak out if you address too many things. Let me show you this real quick. I hope I get some questions. Lisa, you better get on them questions. Or at least let me know, because I'm having a hard time getting to them. All right. Let me tell you about this, because this is important. We'll go back to the flip chart. Right here, when you are on a stall or plateau, you are probably eating in your comfort zone. Now, I talked about this in the summer reset, but I'm going to do it again because you need it. The comfort zone is sitting around thinking I should be losing weight, doing the exact same things every single day that I've been doing the last 6 months, and nothing's happened. The comfort zone is saying, like, I need to feel confident and good. Like, how do I quit overeating at night and it not feel terrible? It's like, first, we don't judge it, but it's going to be hard. Your brain is going to ask for it, but you can't make it harder than it is. Are you willing to do the now process? Are you willing to reach out to your text buddies? Are you willing to do planned binges? Are you willing to, for now, start leveling up what you eat? Instead of eating 10 Oreos, can you eat 5? Can we have a compromise in the house? But your comfort zone is you just doing same shit over and over again. Then there's this zone. This is the discomfort zone. This is me making a plan for 5 Oreos when I've been eating 10. Because when I eat my 5 Oreos, I'm going to want 5 more. Or I'm going to eat 5 and tell myself, bitch, you can't lose weight eating that. I'm going to be uncomfortable, but it's tolerable discomfort. It's where you can negotiate. It's where it's challenging, but it's not defeating you. It's where you don't wear yourself out emotionally so that your reasoning brain can have a conversation with yourself. This is important. Now, take a wild guess. Out here is scared shitless. And in the scared shitless zone, we've got willpower. Let me just tell you, this is finite. Willpower don't last very long. You only got so much. Some of y'all can just sit there, willpower yourself at night not to eat about 3 days. Fourth day, you're caving because all you're doing is sitting there. I can't have this. I can't have this. This is so hard. I wish this would go away, blah, blah, blah. You know, and when I'm sitting here, there's I'm still worried about all my things at work. Like, it's a miserable experience. But y'all try to do this. Here's also fuckery afoot. Y'all are playing that game. Which means you're just sitting there creating like hard ass rules on every single thing you're doing wrong. I got to give this up, this up, this up, and this up. And while I'm at it, all these things that I'm doing that make sense, I need to turn the heat up, make them harder. It's the only way to lose weight. That's called black and white thinking. There is a third option. It's called the middle. And in the middle, it's reasonable. It's doable. Sometimes in the discomfort zone, we have thoughts like not good enough. Good. I want you having that thought. You need to have that thought. And then you need to tell yourself why what you're doing is going to be good enough. What's not good enough is jumping out here into scared shitless land where you run right back to your comfort zone real fast when the emotions get too intense, or just staying here in denial that everything should be working. All right. Go back to here. Maintaining denial dieting. A lot of times I think I have to change it all. We just talked about that. You ain't got to change everything. You only have to change small things, but one at a time. If you can't pick, take it to Ask Coaches. Take, like, here are the things I looked at. This is probably why I'm on a stall. Here are the behaviors that I noticed that I'm doing. And I need to pick one. If it was you, which one would you start with and how? Then I would take their answer and I would repost into the Facebook group and I would say, I asked and asked coaches. They chose this behavior for me. Who has overcome it and what worked for you? You have got thousands of women over there that have either lost weight or losing weight successfully. Let them give you crowdsourcing ideas. That is the benefit of being in a community. This is why when people on the podcast are just sitting there consuming free content and then wondering why they can't lose weight, because they run into this kind of shit and nobody yells at them and nobody gives them ideas and nobody gives them a community and nobody gives them coaches. You know where they are? Butt naked, in the cold, soaking wet and wondering why they can't lose weight. That's why it's beneficial to be in here. We will warm you up real quick. If nothing else, I'll fire you up. Avoids obvious solutions. This is the next thing. I talked about this earlier. There are probably obvious solutions. Like, if you are overeating at night, it is obvious that what we need to do is war game how we're going to end that behavior without you having to just willpower every single night through it. But we don't want to go to ridiculous solutions, which is, well, I know I keep overeating at night. I think what I'll do is I'll eat less at lunch, where I already eat in control and I actually like it. And I'm successful at it. So what I'm going to do is make that a miserable experience and really hope that at night, I'm not going to want to keep wanting to eat. Like, don't make the daytime more miserable on yourself around food and expect that when you're eating because you've had a stressful day, all you did was turn the stress up. You are going to want to eat more at night. You can't do that to yourself. You want to quit eating at night over stress? De-stress your day. We will help you and ask coaches, what are you stressing about all the fucking time? Are you a people pleaser? Are you worried about other people's opinions? Are you jacked up at work? Do you need, like, figure out what the hell is stressing you out instead of like sitting there beating yourself up every day because you keep eating at night? Get to the root of the problem. And then the last one is doesn't get to the doable steps. This is somebody who's just sitting in this land, not making them doable enough. One of the things that I would encourage y'all to do, and maybe Kara, if you could create a post, that would be really cool. I know you can't do it today, but maybe in the next few days. One of the things that a lot of people have done in this membership is they take a jumbo Ziploc bag. And every day that they leave some food behind or don't eat something that they were going to grab as, they drop it into the Ziploc bag and they throw it in the freezer. Then at the end of the week, they get the bag out to see how much food they have been wasting in their body. In those moments, you don't miss the food. Not physically. You might miss it mentally a little bit because you're used to eating it, but that will override as an experiment to see what happens. So at the end of the week, they pull it out. It's a lot of food. It ends up weighing pounds. And it looks like 2 to 3 meals very often. That's what we're doing when we are not doing obvious, doable shit to lose weight. Stop leaving low-hanging fruit on the tree. Y'all are like some kind of Tarzan wanting to scale to the top of the tree to get your banana when there's one hanging off the bottom limb waiting for you to eat it. All right. That's my talk on stalls and plateaus. I'm fixing to like knock over. I've got all these little water bottles lined up over here that I need to take to the recycling. I need to get them into my bag. All right, let's get to some questions. All right, do me a favor. If that was helpful, will you please give me an emoji, like a heart or a thumbs up or something inside? All right, good. I just want to make sure it's helpful because I don't want to do these things if they're not helpful. If it was helpful and you are, let's say this is something that your accountability group talks about on the regular, like not around stalls, then what I would do is go to the Facebook group, type up what you learned, tag those ladies, and then tell them this recording will come out on Friday and listen to it as a group and commit to what you are going to do. Like, what did you take away from it? And what are you fucking changing next week? We are not messing around inside of No BS. So many of these things are easy things to do for a fast feedback loop. I talk to my team about this all the time. What are fast, easy things we can do to help the members lose weight? There, we have, like, as a business, there are lots of things that we plan. Courses are planned out way ahead of time. Shit like this, I was just sitting there working out this morning, doing shoulders, thinking about y'all. And came up with this fast feedback. So what you want to do is you always want to be doing things like, what can I be doing that I could probably see some progress in as little time as possible? When you're listening to content and doing all that stuff, we call that the long game. That's great because it's helping you strategize. It's helping you plan. It's helping you keep your mind like dialed in. The more you listen to content during the day, the more you're going to be like, you're just going to like, you're going to have my thoughts in your head drowning out your thoughts, which is often a great trade. Because if your brain can't automatically generate better thinking just yet, listen to mine. Let it be the voice in your head until you start more thinking like that. That's like how you reprogram something. So, the short fast feedback loop is you take one thing that you learn and you immediately start putting it into play. You don't think about it. You don't marinate on it. You don't forget about it. You commit in writing in your planner like, hey, Corinne said this today. I'm going to try it tonight. Corinne said this. This is what I'm doing this weekend. That's my thing. And you put it into action immediately. All right. I'm plan 95% of my days. And yet I believe my brain, when it tells me eating extra off-plan things is not a problem. I've been in No BS for 2 years. I lost my 20 pounds and regained it all. So it is a problem. So anytime your brain says this is not a problem, it's like, oh yeah, that's not right. I have a 20 pound gain that proves that wrong. Laura, you got to talk back to your brain. Y'all, your brain is obviously going to say that. You know why? It wants to keep eating. what else is it supposed to say? Our habit brain don't give a fuck about anything other than do what you last did. And if it felt good, even better, I'll keep sending it up. You got to talk back to it. Y'all, when you, like, the first thing you learn in No BS is how to just listen to your brain. That is new and novel all in and of itself. But about half of you stop. You're like, well, I'm hearing it. Just hearing it doesn't mean things change. The only way for it to change is to talk back. So like, oh, that's wrong. I always think that when I just want to keep eating, but it's not even true. Because if it was true, I wouldn't have regained 20 pounds. At the time I lost my weight, I do my plan nearly perfectly and was really willing to stop it satisfied. I tell myself I'm learning to honor my plan with 100% reliability and that opportunities to eat off plan will be an automatic. But then I eat a few nuts or an extra boiled egg, then cookies. Yeah, you need to tell yourself, you've got to get better at seeing yourself. But here's what I would do first. If you're going to be eating nuts, eggs, and stuff, start putting them on your plan then. You know, following your plan works. Then put your bullshit on there. Rather than saying like eating extra is not a problem, prove yourself wrong by doing this way. Put all that extra on your plan and see if it really is a problem. If it's not a problem, you'd plan it. That's what I would tell my brain. Oh, I'm not planning this stuff. I guess I'll start planning it. Then your brain's going to rest and be like, well, you can't lose weight doing that. It's like, thank you, brain, for telling me the fucking truth. Because the only way you're going to know the truth is to do things truthfully. Don't create fake ass plans. Is there a No BS method for eating throughout the day that helps with the desire to binge at the end of the day? All over the place. The four basics. The desire. So one of the things, anonymous, here's what I would do. Make sure you get through the No BS weight loss course first. All of those lessons are addressing, like, you will get to module 3, where we address urges and desires, the science of the brain and stuff. If you're having the desire to binge at the end of the day, there's probably two things happening. Number one is when you're in module 2 and we start introducing the idea of the think, feel, do cycle, you need to figure out what's going on at the end of the day where you need relief. And that means something goes on during the day. There's usually a buildup of pressure, a buildup of stress. And a lot of us think like, just stress. I just have a stressful job. No one just has a stressful job. Stress is always generated by thoughts. Your thoughts about your job stress you out. Like if you sit around all day long thinking, I was coaching someone one day on, she is a pharmacist. And she's like, we can't afford to make mistakes. And I was like, that's not even true. And she was like, oh no, it is. And I said, no, that's called your thought about your day. And it's no wonder you leave work every day jacked up because you're worried you're going to kill someone all day. You could be thinking, I'm the kind of person who knows what they're doing. You could also be motivating yourself all day long rather than pressuring yourself all day long. I asked her, I was like, how many people have you killed? She was like, none. How many prescriptions have you messed up? She was like, none. I said, okay, what if we just start going on our track record? Like, that's an example. Like, a lot of y'all assume your job, assume your life is just stressful. There are parts of your life, parts of your job, parts of your things that you apply stressful thoughts to when you could apply 1,000 other ones. It doesn't mean that you have to feel amazing, but a lot of times you don't have to talk about things in such a way that go from like, I could feel like it's doable. I could feel willing. I could feel a lot of things. It's like y'all think there's only two options, stressed out and shitty or like oblivious and happy. There's a rainbow of things that you could be thinking. So you want to do that. So that the first thing is like examine your days. Just start listening to how you talk to yourself. If all day long you're like saying like, I hope I don't binge tonight. I hope I don't binge tonight. I hope I don't binge tonight. You need to tell your brain, I know you don't want to binge tonight. And that's okay. Like, I get it. But here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we're just going to see what our desires are. Like, even having a gentle conversation with yourself turns the volume down of sitting around with your fists like this all day long, not wanting to binge. Telling yourself, hey, I'm in no BS now. I'm working on this. We may still continue to binge for a little bit, but I'm going to figure this out for us. I've got resources. Even having that conversation feels better. So when you finish No BS, go take the Trusting Your Body course next. That's with my best friend and coach, Jane. She's a binge eater, has been for a long time. And she designed this course around like getting back in touch with your body, trusting it. And there are some like, there's some EFT stuff in there, meditations. We have all kinds of things in there. It's designed for people who really need to calm their nervous system. You may not be a binge eater, but you may have a lot of things that feel like binge eating. Like that whole program is designed around getting back in touch with your body so that you can trust it and honor it and have compassion for it. I am practicing wearing my new swimsuit around the house before the beach next week. It has no skirt. I coached someone on this weekend. That's hilarious. Barbara, you should make sure you watch this weekend's weight loss coaching call, which is new to me. What are some lush thoughts I can say to myself to fight the urge to take it off? Thanks. I'm practicing. I love the version of me that is practicing. Not everybody's willing to do hard things, but I am. This is how I build love for my body. Like, I would say those things. You do not, none of you need to look in the mirror and start off with like, I'm a sexy beast. You need to start off with pride that you're working on it. Compassion that you grew up in a world where women's bodies are up for debate all the time. I post anything on social. You wouldn't believe how much stuff that my people have to delete because people think that a woman's body is up for debate in the public square. Love yourself that you are willing to wear something you want to wear, even if there's a part of you that still worries about what other people think. We can always start with loving the part of ourselves that's willing, that's working on changing things. That's the first steps to loving your body. And they're the most important parts because you're loving the person you're becoming. You know, it's easy to lose weight. And if you look the way you want to suddenly love your body, but you haven't really felt in love with you. You didn't go through the process of loving everything about you. This is the harmful side effect of losing weight for some people. Some people will lose weight and they will really like their body, but they won't like who they are because they never thought about who they became, all the work that they were doing. They didn't give themselves any credit for that. They beat themselves up all the way down the scale, still judging how they show up in the world and worrying about all kinds of stuff. And then they get the gift of liking their body, but still not liking who they are. So now they're just trapped in a thin body with the same demoralizing thoughts about themselves. The real key is not what you look like. The real key is thinking about, do I like who I am? What about me is right? Y'all start there. Can you speak to the fear of a solid plateau? I know the answer is to create a new, better thought, but wondering if you have any suggestions. I was in a stall, then it ended. Now my brain is throwing up so much fear and doubt about the next stall. Jania, you do need to get a different thought. You need to think about why you don't need to be afraid of it. You overcame one. First thought is, I know more are coming. Like, that's just reality. You're going to have more. But you've overcame one, which means now you have the skills to overcome another. So go back and ask yourself, what skills did I develop to overcome it so that I can reassure myself, oh, that's all it took. The only reason why you would fear a stall or plateau is you're fearing what it means about you. Now you need to work on not making it mean, I'll never lose weight, something's wrong with me, this shouldn't be happening. Those are the thoughts that you're going to want to be prepared to have new thinking around. April baby lost 50 pounds using intermittent fasting, 18 to 37 hour from January 2020 to July 21st, been maintaining since July. I've lost 2.5 pounds since joining and starting to do the work. Now that I'm eating it hungry when I break my fast, but my signals are not as clear when it's time for my second meal. I'm having a challenging time identifying if I'm physically hungry or mentally hungry because the signals are subtle and I know that my eating window will be closing soon. Any advice or input on differentiating between the two? If I'm not truly hungry before my window closes, should I just commit and push through until my window opens the next day? I would not, Elizabeth. So this is a very nuanced thing. Everybody else, don't pay attention to this because this is not what I teach. But I'm, you know, if this is working for you and you love it, like it's all about your lifestyle. If you love your lifestyle and you like this, just this is what I would do, Elizabeth. Just really make sure that this is like what you want to be doing and not just because it's how you're losing weight. This is one of the things that's a real tricky nuance when it comes to weight loss methods. A lot of times people will convince themselves they like something simply because they are losing weight. And they'll think like, ooh, I'm just feeling better. But they're talking to themselves better about the weight loss. They're not necessarily talking to themselves better about themselves. They're not really changing all of that stuff. So do some work there for your own sake. Just, it does not mean you have to give up the, doesn't mean you have to give up the fasting and stuff. It just means really like just get on solid, solid ground that this is like, these are the reasons why I love it. Physically, this is what's happening in my body and those kinds of things outside of weight loss. Love it for reasons other than weight loss, right? And that's what I want for everybody. I don't want anybody even loving the four basics just simply because if you hate the four basics, but you only love it because you're losing weight, you're just going to end up hitting maintenance, hating the four basics without the benefit of losing weight. You lose a why. So with all that said, here's how I would do it. I would probably eat something small before your window closes if you're not getting hungry. But you already, this is one of the things I want you to watch out for. You keep saying like, my signals are subtle. Our hunger signals are supposed to be subtle. One of the things that I think that happens with fasting is that fasting, like getting to your fasting window, especially in the beginning, I've tried fasting before just to see what all the hoopla and everything is about. You get way more hungrier than what we ask you to get for doable hunger. And so you get used to what I would call like higher level. I don't even want to call them extreme because I really don't want y'all thinking that I think fasting is the worst thing ever. I don't think fasting is the worst thing ever. I think that fasting is one of those things that you really need a great mindset around it. It can often set up disordered eating. For some women, fasting is not really great for hormones, depending on your age and things like that. Women of childbearing age, sometimes fasting can be very detrimental to hormonal cycles and stuff. Just there's a lot of research out there, pros and cons. You can find information about fasting for either side for women in 1,000 different ways. So my thoughts are about like the integrity of what we choose in order to lose weight. And so one of the things that I would do is just notice that your subtle signals are probably what I'm asking everybody else to always be eating according to. So maybe you don't call them subtle. You just say like, huh, this is probably what doable hunger is. It's just a quieter version of the hunger I'm used to. So look for that and then just note those things. But if it was me, I would never get to eating once a day. I would not want you eating once a day. Very often I only eat twice a day. It ain't because Corinne's fasting and loves it. It's very often days like today. I start early. I work out. I have to be on camera. I have to go straight into meetings. Sometimes my first meal doesn't even happen till between 11 and 1, just due to my schedule. And I'm okay with that. I know I can handle some hunger. I don't advise that for all of my clients, But I am at an emotional and mental level now where I just don't freak out around hunger. So that's okay. I never feel restricted or like something bad has happened. I don't overeat and overcorrect because I've moved past a lot of my diet trauma. So one of the things is you want to probably eat a small meal, because I would much rather see you eat two meals than to just do one, because you're just trying to make it all work. The four basics do work, but I just want you like, all right, at the start of my fasting window, I'm hungry. This is great. I'm going to eat. I'm probably going to be slightly hungry. Or if this also goes for like shift workers, a lot of times, like today's a good example. Let's say I knew that I had calls until 3 o'clock. Very often, and that's almost always on my Tuesdays. My Tuesdays start at fucking early, lots of calls, all back to back, no breaks, literally none. I don't even go to the bathroom half the time. I often will eat breakfast in the morning knowing I don't want to be sitting around in my hunger striking before 3 o'clock. That is just a choice and it's deliberate. And I eat something that I know will give me energy for that long window. The point of that is my mindset is, what is the best thing for Corinne to do? What is good for Corinne? And I'm looking at it from that way. What a lot of you do is you'll be like, oh God, if I don't eat, I'll be starving. If I don't eat, you know, it'll be terrible. And you raise your anxiety levels. I look at it from a place of empowerment. This is a choice. What is best for me? My cortisol is low. My anxiety is low on that. And that's me taking time to do that over the years, to like be doing everything that I teach y'all, looking at my thoughts and examining the way I talk to myself. I hope that helps, Elizabeth. I don't eat at night because I'm stressed. I eat because it's the only time of the day I'm relaxed and I'm in eating to enjoy rather than eating because I'm hungry. But now I eat too much, even if I plan the food. That's the same, Kathy. That's the adverse. You're reacting to the stress. Let me ask you this. If you didn't eat, would you be stressed? That's what we want to look at. It like only way I know how to relax is to eat. That means before I start eating, I'm stressed. Or without the food, my brain automatically goes to stressful thoughts. So I want you to look at that. That's what we want to be working on. So you want to be, take it to Ask Coaches, Kathy. Make sure you take that to Ask Coaches. Tell them exactly what we just talked about, except I don't want you to just copy and paste this. I want you to say, if I wasn't eating, here's what I would be thinking. And I want you to give them at least 10 things you'd think about. The first few things that you're going to think about is probably going to be something along the lines of like, I want that, like this sucks, blah, 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 blah. That would be stressful thoughts. The second layer of things as you get further into it is you're probably going to think things like, I didn't get enough done today. I shouldn't be sitting around just watching TV. I really should be doing some no BS work. Like you'll suddenly, like a lot of people will go into, I should be being productive thoughts. One of the best things I ever did for myself to cut my nighttime eating was to start watching Netflix with permission. A lot of y'all don't give yourself permission to watch TV or do something mindless or relaxing at all. You eat so that you don't have to hear the judgy thoughts. And that's how you're giving yourself permission to relax. And for me, what I just decided was like, there is nothing better I should be doing. I have put in a solid day. I have showed up for me today. And even if I didn't, I'm just like, I didn't get all my work done today. But guess what? Tomorrow's a new one. And now is rest time. Like, this is my time. I talk about it. Not like an asshole. I talk about it from a deserving mindset. I talk about it like it's not a big deal. I don't ever entertain the idea I should be doing something else other than chilling out, watching TV, and having Corinne time. When I did that, I didn't need to eat to be able to give myself that shit. All right. I hope that was helpful. Y'all, traveling again this weekend, but I will be on weight loss coaching this weekend. I will be, let's see, what are we doing this weekend? Let me look. This is this weekend. If you didn't get your question answered, by the way, there's a couple left. Ask and Ask Coaches or ask in the Facebook group. We have plenty of people who are willing to help you here. I will be on with y'all 11 a.m. Central Time on Sunday. And then the cool thing is we also have Anobius Parents of Children Under 18 subgroup call on Sunday afternoon at 1. One of the coaches will be hosting that one. So if you are a parent and you need some coaching and your kid is under the age of 18, maybe you were like, I need some coaching on keeping these fucking kids at home with me all summer. Lord help me. That is a perfect call for you to come to. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you later. Bye, y'all.